This is a production of South Dakota Public Broadcasting.
Chairman, I'll call to order the Senate Commerce Committee for its first committee hearing, and the secretary will call the roll.
Senator Adelstein, Senator Gant,
here.
Senator Merchant,
here.
Senator Nesselhoff,
here.
Senator Turbeck,
here.
Senator Nelson,
here.
And Senator Olson,
here. We have Brittany Harris from Chamberlain, who is a Senate page this year that's with us, and Amy Miles from Pierre, who was here and will be sitting back there when she returns. I'd like to also, at this first committee meeting, introduce the Senate interns, Jenna Schmink from Newell, and Mr. Jordan Fink, and he's from Delmont. And at this time, I'd also like to introduce our staff secretary, Cindy Lauder, and the LRC staff assistant for us is Jackie Storm. Those of you listening on the internet and members of the audience here would also, I'm sure, like to hear from the members of the committee. So I would start down with Senator Merchant and ask you to introduce yourself and which district you represent.
Good morning, everybody. My name is Pam Merchant, and I'm from Brookings, District 7. And was there anything else that you wanted me to express? No. I'm glad to be here. Glad you are as well. Thank you.
Senator Nancy Turbeck-Berry from Watertown. I represent District 5.
Tom Nelson from Lead. I represent District 31.
I'm Senator Russell Olson, and I represent District 8. That's Moody, Minor, Lake, and Sanborn counties.
Senator Ben Nesselhoff, District 17. Apparently, I drew the short straw and have to sit next to Senator Gant.
That would be me, Senator Gant, from Sioux Falls, District 11, and I drew an even shorter straw to be next to Senator Nesselhoff.
So much for the niceties. Today we are not going to hear testimony on any bills. Instead, I have asked the Department of Revenue Regulation and Mr. Roger Novotny to give us overviews of their relationship to this committee and to state government as a whole. And at this time, I would like to call Secretary Paul Kinsman to start things off. I'd also, while Secretary Kinsman is moving forward, like to remind the members of the committee and members of the audience to turn off your cell phones. No one here needs any extra donuts, and we're not going to make a joke out of your cell phone going off. It's very serious business we're going to entertain throughout this session, and would appreciate your courtesy in shutting off your cell phones.
Good morning, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. Welcome back to the legislative session. My name is Paul Kinsman. I'm the Secretary of the Department of Revenue and Regulation. Just thought what I would do here, since we're going to have a number of bills in front of you this year, thought I would introduce the members of my staff that you'll likely be seeing during the legislative session. I've kind of taken the regulation side of revenue and regulation and brought those folks here, as those are the ones who will have beers. We'll have bills. They'll also be having beers, but they will be having bills in front of you. My Deputy Secretary, Dave Wiest, is one of the folks that you'll likely see at some point during the session. Dave, if you would stand up, please. Dave will be coordinating our internal legislative task force. He is going to be a key person in terms of how things go along, and he will be available, as well as myself and all of the members of my legislative staff that will be lobbying in front of you for at your convenience and for any reason that you might need additional information with regard to a bill. One of the things that I will be providing to you is our legislative contact, one of the people who monitors our bills and tries to keep track of everything that's going on within revenue is Kelly Thompson. I will be sending an email to each of the legislators on the committee with her direct line, rather than sending you Randy or Merle's direct line, as they will oftentimes be in committees or being away from their desk. Kelly will know where they are at all times in the event that you're going to need help from them. That being said, the regulation portion of the department is composed of the Board of Abstract Examiners, the Appraiser Certification Program, the Banking Division, Insurance, which you'll hear a few bills from them. You're probably going to have a bill on alcohol that will be handled by our Property and Special Taxes Division. We have Petroleum Release Compensation, the Real Estate Commission, and the Division of Securities. Those are all within the regulation portion of the department. As far as the folks that you're going to be seeing from insurance, you will see the director, Merle Schreiber. And Randy Moses, for those of you who have been around the legislature a while, you're familiar with Randy. Randy is second to none in terms of his institutional knowledge with regard to the insurance industry. From banking, you will see Roger Novotny, the executive director of the Banking Commission. He has two of his lobbyist folks with him, Tim Aharts, who is the deputy executive director, and Brett Oftal, their legal counsel. Brett to the left and Tim to the right. From the Real Estate Commission, you will not be seeing any direct bills with them, but Dean Ortimer, the executive director, will be here probably testifying in support of some of the bills, Dee. And Matt Fonder is the assistant director for the Division of Property and Special Taxes. He will be handling any alcohol regulation issues. I believe that we have a cleanup bill that may be in front of this committee with regard to last year's Senate Bill 126, which was the restaurant license bill. Have I missed anybody? I hope not. That being said, I'm going to go ahead and turn the mic over to Merle Schreiber, the director of the Division of Insurance. He will have the vast majority of the bills probably in front of you from the department. It's not our intent to go through these bills. Obviously, they're not on the agenda. They're not something that we're going to talk about, but he'll give you a general overview of what the division's issues are for this year. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you, Mr. Secretary.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, committee members. I'm Merle Schreiber, Director of the Division of Insurance. You've already been introduced to Randy Moses, Assistant Director. I'd also like Melissa Kleeman to stand up, too. She will be our committee monitor from the Division of Insurance. So if Randy or I are not in the room, which mostly the time, like the Secretary referred to, you probably will see more of Randy and me than you care to, but we'll try and make that a pleasant experience for everyone. So, the Division of Insurance, and I don't know if you were handed an annual statement for the Department of Revenue and Regulation. In there, it does state what the Division of Insurance does regulate, and we are comprised of two main divisions, the financial and licensing and the regulation. So I won't read all through what we obviously do at the Division of Insurance, but we have seven different types of subdivisions within our organization, within our department. We have a licensing and CE of insurance agents. Obviously, one of the more important things that we do is the financial solvency of the insurance companies themselves. We do have a complaint section where we log in a lot of complaints from the folks of South Dakota. We have an enforcement division, obviously, for violation of statutes and administrative rules. We have a legislation division, which Randy and I, predominantly, and Melissa, compromise. We do have an insurance fraud unit. Andy Fergal is the one that does do that. And then we have a rates and forms review. As the Secretary did indicate, once again, we do have approximately 14 insurance bills that the agency itself is submitting to the Senate Commerce Committee and also the House Commerce Committee. We try to split them up a little bit, and we hope anyway that you will see all 14, but we'll have to see what comes from the other side. In those 14 bills, or when we promote these bills or try and bring them forward as an agency, we try to keep in mind five goals that the Division of Insurance has, and they are to protect the public interest, promote competitive markets, facilitate the fair and equitable treatment of insurance consumers, promote the reliability and solvency and financial solidity of insurance companies, and enforce state regulation of insurance. So we hope when you review these bills that you see some of these or all of these within these 14 insurance bills. Like we say, like the Secretary indicated, we won't go through all the 14 bills. It'd be very boring and laborious at this time. But just to categorize them a little bit, we have a lot of cleanup bills. The Insurance Division tries to make sure that the current statutes are up to date or in line with what the national codes or the Fed regulations are. So you will see a lot of cleanup bills that come from the Division of Insurance, and we hope that you will put them, most of them, on the consent calendar so we can get those through real easily. So we have an employer assistance bill that's coming through this year, and you may have seen the press release from the governor regarding that. That bill will come before your committee first, I believe, and so that we will hopefully have something that will garner and also help the small employers in the state of South Dakota. We have some solvency bills, obviously, that we will have in place that will continue with our accreditation process through the National Association of Insurance Commissioners, which South Dakota is accredited, and we're very proud of that, and that will help us to monitor the solvency of the financial conditions of the insurance companies that we regulate in South Dakota. We also have an unauthorized insurance bill that is coming before you, and I won't go into the details of it, but I would, and Senator Olson and I have talked about that. We anticipate that that will garner quite a bit of, not quite, but a few comments and also some opposition to that. So we will do our best to try and inform you of that before we get there. The rest of the bills are ranging from regulation of group life, health, work comp, and other licensing issues at this point. We hope they won't be controversial. If you have questions, feel free to contact Randy or myself or Melissa. We'll be happy to get you any talking points or any other bill analysis that you need in order to read that. Some of the bills do get lengthy in insurance. Some of them get very boring. So if you have trouble sleeping, just read the insurance legislation we're going to put before you. So Division of Insurance also does quite a bit of work with the industry. We try to make sure that we've got everything ironed out before we get to the table before you guys. That doesn't always work, but most of the time we have been in communication with somebody, whether it's proponents or opponents, before we come before you. And with that, Mr. Chairman, that's our short. We don't have a PowerPoint presentation like some folks do that will come before you, so we will leave it short, and if there's any questions, I'll be available.
I think that we're going to hold off on questions until everybody's had the opportunity to speak. I'd also like to take the opportunity to reintroduce Amy Miles from Pierre. She was attending some other work, so everyone can take note of Amy. And also, Senator Adelstein has joined us, and we had introduced ourselves earlier and said what district we represent and any other words or comments, so I'd offer you that opportunity at this time too, Senator.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman and Vice Chair. I'm Roger Novotny, the Director of the Division of Banking. Thank you very much for giving us the opportunity to meet with you this morning a little bit. We only have one bill in, so I won't spend a lot of time on that. I thought during this time, if I could have the privilege of just talking to you a little bit about the state of banking in South Dakota, it might be important in light of these unprecedented times of change and crisis in our country around the financial institutions. So if I could, Mr. Chair, I'd like to kind of go through a brief PowerPoint. I'll make it as quick as I can, and you can cut me off at any point you feel free.
Okay. Please feel free to move forward.
This morning, I haven't opened up and read the Wall Street Journal, but, of course, at the top of the headlines this morning, more bailout money is being requested for Bank of America. And I wanted to lead with that because I wanted to let you know that no bank in South Dakota that I'm aware of has received any bailout money from the federal government at this point in time. And I'm not aware of any pending requests. I think that's an indication of how our banking system is operated in South Dakota and the good shape that they are in. If I could run through some of the slides, I'll go through some of them pretty quickly. The first one is just some background information for you on page 2 on who the Banking Commission is comprised of. They are experienced bankers and a lot of expertise that's located on the commission. They meet twice a year by statute. And down below is our contact information. And like Merle, I would offer our help to your aid or to answer any questions or to give you any information that you might need this session during your important deliberations. On page 3 is just a real summary of who we regulate, because you don't very often hear from us in reference to bills. It's who we examine and how we are funded. Nationally right now, there's a lot of regulator paranoia that I would call going on in D.C., And while we maybe have that occasionally in the division, we try to balance that with good South Dakota common sense, and sometimes good common sense is missing in D.C. It seems to be missing in action. Our banks in South Dakota are simply critical to the future of our state and the hopefully the recovery from this recession in the future. They will lead the way. They always have. Community banks lead the way out of recessions, not the big boys. Usually the lending starts at the local level and builds back up. We have a broad range of bank types in South Dakota for a small state, and most of you are probably aware of that. We go from large credit card banks down to a small ag community bank of maybe $10 million in assets. So our bank examiners that go out and look at these folks have to have a broad range of skills in order to assess the risk and protect the safety and soundness of those institutions for the depositors and the communities. Trust companies continue to grow, and we'll cover a chart about that a little bit later. My guess is their assets are going to shrink a bit, just like my 401k has. Money lenders, we regulate those folks, and those aren't just payday and title lending shops. Those are also national lenders like GMAC, Honda Motor Credit, and others, and lots of furniture stores and grain bin companies. So that covers the gamut. There are about 380 of those. Mortgage lenders, mortgage brokers, mortgage loan originators. While there were a number of them 3 years ago, there aren't as many now, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. Money transmitters, there aren't very many of those, but they handle a lot of money. It's Western Union would be a good example of those for the new members. We have about 30 of those licensed in South Dakota, but they do transmit hundreds of millions of dollars, even outside South Dakota. So last year we passed a new uniform law in South Dakota kind of matches up with what's going on in the country, because there's a lot of interstate transmissions and international transmissions of money, and we greatly appreciate the support of the legislature in getting us up to date, because our law was like 50 years old and really out of touch. We are funded entirely by the people we regulate. We use no general funds. We are a counter-cyclical operation. When things are going really well in the economy, we aren't nearly as busy, and when things are going like they are right now, we're pretty busy. There's a lot going on. I think the next 24 to 36 months are real critical in the banking world. Now on page 4, I'll breeze through these pretty quick, but they're pretty important because it's the national issues that some of you may be familiar with. On page 4, it really is a breakdown of the type of charters that are in the country for banks, between state charters and national charters and thrift charters. As you can see, by and large, most banks in the United States choose to be regulated by the states. They do that for several reasons. Being closer to the regulator is important. I think probably more importantly is being more close to you. You are a voice that will listen to a person that will listen to them in reference to regulatory issues, where in D.C. sometimes they get lost in the shuffle. And that continues to grow. Most all new banks are chartered with a state charter. Sometimes that gets lost in D.C. On page 5 really is a breakdown of the assets. And I put that in there because I did want to demonstrate some of the challenges that you see in the news on a daily basis and what's occurring in our country. If you look at those charts, the blue column in the far right, 12/31/2007, 28% of the total bank assets in the country are under the state charter versus 60% under the national charter. It's just the reverse of that last charter. And it does indicate that big organizations that we have out there have really turned into be too big to fail. And we've all witnessed that in the last few months. And that's really a challenge facing the United States, I think, in the future of what we're going to do with these mammoth institutions and the risk that they pose to all of us as individuals and citizens. Page 6 is really an indicator of what's going on in the country in banking and as far as the risk goes, FDIC-insured problem institutions. As you can see, when you go left to right, when you get into 09, 08, it's gone up to 171 institutions at that point in time. I was discussing this with my contact with the FDIC yesterday in Washington. That's going to go well over 200 in December. In South Dakota, we are faring well. I am nervous but confident that the institutions that we have will weather this storm. They're not perfect. They are just like all of us. They have issues that they will have to deal with during this next couple of years, but I feel pretty good about where we're at with South Dakota State Chartered Banks. The FDIC insurance is absolutely critical. Our citizens need to know that they are protected in their banks in South Dakota. And recently the insurance was raised to $250,000, so we've had an influx of deposits, so that's good news. On page 7 is just a summary of how our examination process works. We charter and examine all state charter banks, obviously. We have cooperative examination agreements with both the Federal Reserve and the FDIC. We rotate examinations with them, and on some exams we are in concert, and there's a half of their team and half of our team, in some cases up to 30 examiners on some of the larger institutions. We do have joint examinations on all the big institutions. Next page, on page 8, is more pertinent to just us in the Division of Banking in South Dakota. It gives you a trend. We've had some shrinkage of the number of banks. As you can see, our assets continue to grow slightly. The change in assets continues to show a positive trend. New reports will be coming out at the end of January. If you are interested in that, let me know. I can provide that to you. I am expecting that our assets will still be growing with this most recent quarter's report, maybe not as quickly as it has in the past. On page 9, this is really the balance sheet of the banks in South Dakota. We are closely monitoring this, and every quarter our examiners go through all the UBPR reports that are filed with the FDIC. We go through them with a fine-tooth comb, and we call it our red flag report, and we try to look for variances and differences that are occurring in the institutions, and we will call them if we see some problems. A couple of spots I'd point you to that obviously stuck out to me when I glanced at this yesterday again would be the return on assets through 9/30/08. That's down to 0.70%, and also the non-current loan spiking. There's always a story behind the story. In this case, that's true. If you exclude the credit card banks in South Dakota, we are actually faring better than all of the other Midwest states. So if you extract the credit card banks from those numbers, it looks a lot better. Our minimal-sized banks, the medium-sized banks, are doing well. Their ROAs were still good, and the cash flows still look okay. So we're watching that very closely, but I didn't want to pull those out because we do charter all of those institutions. Number 10, page 10, trust companies continues to be an area that is growing in South Dakota. You will again, I believe, see a bill or two from the Trust Task Force that is co-chaired by Lieutenant Governor Dugard and Senator Knutson. They very ably do that, and they do a fine job with that. With that group of experts, a couple of times every summer they go through that trust law, and as you become familiar with it, it's complicated and very technical and way beyond me without having a law degree. But they do that annual review, and they keep that up to speed. It continues to be an area that we see growth in. And the next page on page 11 indicates that growth. We're up to 34 trust companies in South Dakota. I'm anticipating we were actually having a little office pool on where those assets are going to go. I was just looking at where my investments are. I'm guessing that $44.2 billion is going to be more like $30 billion at this reporting period. But that will, again, grow as things recover. On page 12 is just a list of the licensees that we examine and look at, from money lenders to the mortgage folks and the money transmitters. And if I could quickly slide over to page 13, because it does demonstrate something that's happening nationally. If you go left to right and you look at the mortgage lenders, mortgage brokers, you can see a dramatic shrinkage in 2007, a little bit of a recovery in 2008, but that industry has been decimated. I do anticipate that they will come back and redo their business model at some point in time. But right now, a lot of them are out of business. They just don't exist anymore. When we passed the new mortgage law back in 2007, the numbers that we were given by the industry, which are reflected in that 2008 slide, we were anticipating 4,500 mortgage originators, to give you an idea of how much shrinkage has occurred in that industry. And we have 526 registered as mortgage originators right now. So that shows the dramatic constriction in the mortgage arena. And then I go to page 14, and I'll jump to 15 too, but I'll start with 14. This is just my crystal ball a little bit, and the things we talked about internally, this isn't the governor's position. It's not Secretary Kinsman's position. It's just kind of our analysis in the Division of Banking of what we see impacting us and the banks that we regulate. We kind of put them in the order that we thought were the most important. National and local economic conditions. Now, I'm not going to predict what's going to happen. I think those are obvious ones when you look at what's going to occur in South Dakota. Unemployment probably is the top of my list of the risks that we would be faced with our institutions. And I'm not sure if we're going to be faced with inflation or deflation. It's going to be one or the other, and probably deflation first, followed by rapid inflation. The mortgage arena has shrunk rapidly. There's a lot of excess homes on the market, probably even in some in South Dakota, and I would guess maybe out West River and some of the other towns are seeing excess inventory. Until that gets sucked up, we're not going to have a big housing boom. And we are certainly in uncertain interest rates environments. I don't know how many of you can remember a time when the Fed rate was as low as it is now, which is virtually zero. Really highly unusual, hard to manage for. The stimulus package, I kind of added that to my list this morning. I think the stimulus package will be really important to South Dakota and how that plays out. The agricultural economy, thank God for the agricultural folks right now. They have carried the bucket for us this year and last year, and we are optimistic about next year in the Division of Banking. When we're looking at the loans, what's being paid off, and how all the operators are working, seem to be in pretty good shape. It's not perfect. There's some cracks in that, but when we were in D.C. a year ago, we met with Chairman Bernanke and the rest of the Federal Reserve, and actually Tim Mayhart stood up at the Fed board meeting and asked about the ag bubble, and Bernanke turned white. I mean, because their concern was that the ag bubble may pop at the same time as everything else, and we would have a total meltdown, and it has not. You know, the ag folks have really carried the water. Preemption and expanded federal regulation, I think this is a critical issue for you as legislators. I know I've talked to some legislators that have been to the NCSL meetings. I know that has been discussed. What's Congress going to do with state oversight of the financial institutions that we currently have? Will Congress try to preempt what you guys pass? That could happen. I think that would be a tragedy for a state like ours where we have a lot of local community banks. I think it would put them in a terrible, difficult circumstance. And I think that the dynamics that are under scrutiny are really being driven by the academics in D.C. at the current time, and they are indicating that they would like to federalize all of the financial regulation. I think in South Dakota we should challenge that. It's an important issue for us as we go forward. The idea that banks should get bigger just seems crazy to me. It's been shown what happens when that occurs. So there's kind of a saying I have, that the banks in D.C. That they look at, the big boys, are too big or too complex to fail. But our banks in South Dakota are too small for them to care. But our South Dakota cities and communities, where we all live, they're too important to ignore. And I think we have to keep a close eye on that in D.C. and see where that goes, because that could be devastating to our state and our future. We have shown that we can't regulate the big boys. The last page that I have is just a couple of general ones. Demographic issues, you're familiar with that, and then trust company activity will continue to expand. And I always throw in a list of websites that are, I know you're going to be too busy this next couple of months to be looking at stuff like that, but during the summer, some of those websites really have a lot of good information if you're interested in the commerce area. A lot of good statistics. You can watch bank reports. All of the banks in South Dakota, if you go out the FDIC website, you can look at all their balance sheets. Very few people know that. That's all public information. So you can dissect and look at that like we do. If I could, Mr. Chairman, I'd like to have Brett Afdahl just give you 2 minutes on the mortgage bill and the SAFE Act, because that's being driven by Congress, and I think it would be important to lay that groundwork before the testimony on that bill, if I could.
That's fine. Thank you for your
Thank you. I'll entertain any questions if she has.
Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, as the director indicated, my name is Brett Afdahl. I'm legal counsel for the division, and having just a briefing statement passed out, and I won't go into the details of our bill. Just a little background behind it. The end of July this year, the president signed into law the Safe Mortgage Licensing Act, and it was only 22 pages out of a 700-page bill passed by Congress. But it's very important to our state and all of the states. The principal goal is to implement some minimum licensing standards for mortgage loan originators, and the states have gotten together through the Conference of State Bank Supervisors and the Association of Mortgage Regulators to draft language that will meet the requirements of the SAFE Act and also have some uniformity across the states. And of course, as Congress likes to do, there is a mandate in the bill. They gave the states 1 year to comply with the minimum licensing requirements. So this year is our one shot at it. The United States Housing and Urban Development has been deemed the fallback regulator. If any state doesn't comply with the minimum requirements, they're to go in and take over mortgage regulation in that state. We certainly don't want to be the first state to end up in that situation, but I think it's also an opportunity for the states to demonstrate that we can, you know, regulate the mortgage industry. The federal regulators are saying that we can't, but it's interesting that 5 years ago the states started putting together a nationwide licensing database, and through testimony this last year, that was really the only proactive thing that had been done by anybody, and it was done by the states. The federal agencies hadn't made any proactive moves to get their arms around this this gorilla, really. So we've been involved with that. I've been on weekly calls since August 1st, I guess, the day after the bill was signed, working with the other states, drafting legislation. The legislature isn't a big fan of model bills, but in this situation, we need some uniformity across the states to make it more reasonable for multi-state operators to operate. And HUD has taken a look at that bill and has kind of given its blessing. They put something in the Federal Register, even, that they have reviewed that model state law and have approved it. So what we've done is taken the critical elements of that bill and put them into our bill. We didn't have to put everything into that because of what we did in 2007. We took a lot of the steps. We already do the background checks and some of the things that were required on that. I guess just as an example of what it will do through the nationwide system, like if you have a mortgage loan originator that works for a large company, they could operate in 20 states. They could operate in up to all 50 states. Right now, that originator would have to file an application in each state and undergo a background check in each state. So they would have to go through that process 20 to 50 times, and the FBI would have to process 50 background checks. Through this system, that person will be able to indicate which states they're going to apply in, go through the background check one time, and that information will be shared through this nationwide system to all of the states who have signed on to confidentiality and information sharing agreements amongst each other. But it will just streamline that process. It will provide more accountability. State regulators will be required to report violations in their state or enforcement actions, and it will also provide more consumer protection. The public will have access to certain portions of that database. They'll be able to see, you know, if they talk to a loan originator, they'll be able to go out there and make sure that that person is licensed, who they work for, if there's any outstanding enforcement actions against that person. And I guess another consumer protection angle would be it'll prevent someone who's had an enforcement action against them in one state from simply moving to the next state over and becoming licensed there, because right now there isn't that mechanism to have that constant flow of information. So, but that'll be House Bill 1060, and that's kind of just a rough overview of the background behind it, and I will certainly go into more detail on the mechanics of the bill. I will warn you ahead of time, it's kind of scary. It's complicated looking, but it really isn't that bad once we talk about the overriding issues. A lot of it's just putting some requirements into place, but I will stand by for questions.
Thank you, Mr. Afton. That's all you have for the committee today. I would at this time ask the committee if you have any questions of any of our guests that have provided their briefings today. Now's the time to ask those questions. Senator Adelstein.
You mentioned that there were no South Dakota banks that were involved in the bailout. It seems to me that I saw in the Wall Street Journal when they first starting enlisting from large to small, that my friend Kurt Hagee from Sioux Falls had very reluctantly applied for assistance.
I'd just like to remind the committee that I'd like to have all the questions addressed through the chair and the appropriate responses as well. Go ahead, Mr. Novotny.
Home Federal is a thrift charter, not a state chartered bank. And that's my comment should have been specifically to the state chartered banks in South Dakota. They are regulated by the Office of Thrift Supervision out of D.C.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Seeing no other business before the committee, I would just like to remind the committee that we are going to meet again January 20th, where we will start to dispose of the bills that have already had their first reading in the Senate. And with that, the chair would entertain a motion to adjourn. Moved by Senator Gant. Second by Senator Merchant. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? We're adjourned.